I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. But I love those words there, friends. My time is at hand. You know, every Saturday night, we've been in the church hall just over there, learning about some of the amazing prophecies in God's word. And we've learned every single week that God's timing is always perfect. What he says happens exactly as he says it and exactly on time. So when Jesus says, my time is at hand, these are big words, friends. You see, because this is no ordinary Passover feast. This is not an ordinary Passover feast, friends, because this was virtually the last Passover feast to ever be celebrated. For 4,000 years, the Jewish people have been sacrificing a lamb. God's faithful people had been sacrificing a lamb as a symbol of the sin. But now, the symbol was about to be fulfilled. And Jesus says, my time is at hand, because the Lamb of God is here to take away the sin of the world. And it happened exactly on time. But friends, I don't want to present to you this morning just a mere intellectual discourse. You know, our focus today is on Christ and his work on our behalf. And friends, this morning it is my desire to encourage you with the hope that I've found in preparing this message. Continue with me in your Bibles in Matthew 26. We're on page 963. We're going to read verses 19 to 20. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. I'm going to read verse 26 to 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Friends, as the perfect fulfillment of the Passover, Jesus instituted a new service that was to be the continuing memorial of his great sacrifice. I really want to bring out this point I see in verse 26 to 28. I want you to look at the focus. What is the focus of verse 26 and 28? The focus is on Christ's body and Christ's blood. And friends, that's what we're here today for. The communion service is here to focus our thoughts, our attentions, not on ourselves, not on anything else, but on Christ and his sacrifice on our behalf. As I was thinking and dwelling upon this, I thought I'd like to share with our church some encouragement, friends. Because the sad reality is, as I travel around, as I've been around to a lot of different Adventist churches, unfortunately, communion is one of the least attended services in the Adventist church. It's very sad. I feel like a lot of people are missing out on a blessing, and I thank you everyone for being here today. And I want to give you some encouragement. I was thinking, why is that? Why is it that sometimes communion can be one of the least attended services? And I think one of the reasons is that many people don't feel worthy to participate. I think there's a lot of people feeling unworthy to participate in the symbolic emblems for various reasons. Friends, I want to give you some encouragement. I want you to look at verse 27 here. Matthew 26, verse 27, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to who? He gave it to them. Friends, who was Jesus sharing this meal with? Who was he sharing? He was sharing this meal with his disciples. That's it. He told them to do that. Now, friends, were the disciples any worthy to participate in this ceremony, in this service? Were the disciples worthy to do this? What's their track record, friends? Pretty bad. Literally, just hours after Jesus had this meal with them, just a few hours later, we see that one of his disciples, Judas, betrays Jesus with a kiss. We see Peter denying, swearing and cursing and denying Jesus, he doesn't even know Jesus. And we see the rest of them run off, hiding in the darkness during Jesus' most trying and pressing hour. Disciples certainly weren't worthy enough to be partaking of the communion. Because as I read through the Bible, friends, as you keep reading through the book of Matthew, you see that shortly after this meal together, Jesus would be betrayed by a disciple, arrested, subject to a rigged trial late at night. But while all this was happening, friends, while Jesus was troubled, he was preparing to become the Passover lamb of the world to take away our sins. The disciples were not of the same mindset. You see, they were contending among themselves who should be the greatest. During Christ's most pressing and trying hour, the disciples were thinking of something else. They actually thought that Christ was still coming to set up a literal, physical kingdom in this world. And they wanted to be the first. They wanted to be number one when Christ sets up this kingdom. But friends, in the book of Luke's gospel, Luke adds the words to this story. He says, after Jesus gave the drink and the bread, he says to do this in remembrance of me. And friends, this is something that I've personally struggled with as I've been a partaker of communion for a number of while, and that's getting our focus off ourselves. Getting our focus off ourselves and to partaking of this in remembrance of Christ. Taking our focus off ourselves, friends, and remembering that Christ came to seek and save the lost. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I'd like to encourage you, friends, the communion service is not a season. It's not to be a season of sorrowing. We're not to remember our shortcomings and our failures. We're not to dwell upon our past religious experience, whether it has been good or bad. We're not to think or believe that our sins cannot be forgiven. And we're not to look at others and wondering why they're participating. Because friends, as I love reading this book of Matthew, as I read and I feel that I see the hope, friends, I see that we're here today to remember and celebrate reverently the great deliverance made possible through Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away not just the sin of the world, but of our sins individually. And friends, this is actually really important. This is really, really important. Do you believe? Do you believe that Christ died for you individually? This is really, really important. Not just corporately, friends, but died for you individually. Because as we individually partake of the emblems, which we'll do so shortly, we are reminded, friends, that Christ died for us individually. His sacrifice was for us personally. And as we realize this, as we really contemplate Christ's sacrifice for us individually, we realize two things. Firstly, we respond to God with a deep desire. We want to love him more. We desire to be like him. But on the other hand, we become sensible to the seriousness of sin and the separation that it causes. So friends, I want to encourage you as we soon observe the communion, the symbolic emblems of the bread and wine, through God's strength, friends, please banish all thoughts of self, self-focused doubt, banish all the thoughts. We're here to focus specifically on Christ and him crucified. There's a quote I'd like to read from Desire of Ages, page 652. The Lord's Messenger writes, "The ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given to commemorate the great deliverance wrought out as a result of the death of Christ. It is the means by which his great work for us is to be kept fresh in our minds." And Jesus says, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Now, friends, while the bread and unfermented wine is a reminder of Christ's sacrifice for us individually, they also point forward to his second coming. But not only that, friends, that also indicates and reminds us of the intercessory work he's currently doing on our behalf. And this is good encouragement for us, friends, because from whatever trials and discouragements you're experiencing right now, whatever challenges are in your way, whatever heartaches and disappointments you're currently experiencing in life right now, friends, through the emblems of the bread and wine, the emblems of communion, we remember that Christ is not only coming back for us, but that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And I love this verse in Hebrews 7:25. It says, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So friends, this morning I want you to remember not what you've currently got on in life right now, what Jesus is doing for you in the heavenly sanctuary. How he's working things out on your behalf right now as we speak. And today we celebrate that through the emblems of the communion. But there's more good news, friends. There's so much we could unpack. It's hard to really cover everything I'd like to share. But in studying the Passover feast, there's a particular verse that I noticed that has relevance to our service today. In Exodus chapter 12, God gives a specific instruction of what to do with the Passover lamb. He specifically said that all of it was to be consumed that night. There was not one bit of it to be left in the morning. And I often wondered why. Why is this so? Well, because the morning after the Passover was to bring a new experience. It was to bring freedom from bondage. And friends, the good news that we have today is that the soul that accepts Jesus through faith and partakes of the Passover and partakes of him enters upon a new experience. Freedom from the condemnation of the old life and the divine help to live the new. And that's our focus for this morning. See, the problem was when this world, in Genesis 3, we read about the problem that sin entered our world and it forbade humanity from sharing in the blessings and the promised blessings to God's children. But friends, as I read through the Bible, I'm encouraged because the gospel is God's remedy for sin. And that's what we're here today to celebrate. I love the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool." And that's what God can do for each and every one of us who believes. So friends, this morning I want you to think not of this worship today as just another communion service. We traditionally do it four times a year. Think of it not as just another communion service, friends, but think of it today as an opportunity for a new start, a clean slate, but this time with a total refocus upon Christ. In closing, friends, as we pause to remember Christ's sacrifice, individually on our behalf, as we contemplate the meaning of this infinite sacrifice, we are left with a future promise. In Matthew 26, verse 29, we read, it's the words of Jesus, "But I say unto you, I will not drink from this time forth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Friends, until that day, we have a future promise right here that once again, Jesus will share this communion service with his disciples in heaven, all of us who choose to go there through faith. The symbolic emblems, friends, are a foretaste of what's to come. And so, friends, I encourage you to keep until that day, keep that in your minds today. As we go forward from here, keep that in mind. The best is definitely yet to come. And as we anticipate that, friends, we also see that Jesus is also anticipating that. He is looking forward to that day, and he's even practicing self-denial by denying himself that fruit of the vine until he can celebrate it once more with all of us in that heavenly kingdom, friends. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I just pray, friends, that as we celebrate, reverently celebrate the ordinances, the symbolic bread and wine, that we can keep that day at the forefront of our minds and that we can leave this place going forth looking to Christ for his strength for everything that we need. So stay strong, my friends, because until that day, we're looking forward to it when our faith becomes sight and we see Christ coming in those clouds. I want to read for you a promise I found in Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 9, and I love verse 8 and 9, friends. Isaiah 25, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it." In verse 9, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is our Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I'm looking forward to that day, friends. Stay strong, be encouraged, and God bless every one of you. So thank you. Have the emblems of the bread and wine. So welcome every one of you here. And we do remember that this is, we practice open communion here, which means everyone, young and old, visitor, baptized, there's no status here. Every single person here is welcome and encouraged to partake of these emblems. I've been informed that all the bread is gluten-free. So everyone, all bread is gluten-free. And the wine is actually unfermented. We call it wine, but it's unfermented wine. Gluten-free bread, grape juice, that's it, and unfermented wine. I invite the deaconesses up to uncover. Thank you, deaconesses. I'm reading from the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 23 and 24. It says, this is the words of Paul, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I now invite our Elder Lazio, and we can all kneel as our Elder Lazio prays over the bread.
Our Father who is in heaven, thank you for the words that you've given us, that we've just read, that we can look back into history. It is written that your body has been broken so I can be saved. And I want to say thank you. But as we come to you this morning, we ask that you touch our lives, that you fill us with the living word, with the living bread, so we can feed on that and be strengthened by that as we go through each day. As Jaden mentioned this morning in the sermon, that there is hope, that you've given these symbols for us to hold on to look forward to that day. And we can know that we can be there. We can stand there, not on our own merits, because of what you have done. We can. And we can go home. I ask as we go through this morning to bless us, but not for us, but so we can be a blessing to others and continue that and share the good news that has been given to us. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm reading from John chapter 6, verse 51. Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I have given for the life of this world." So I invite you now to prayerfully sit down and eat the bread. I read now, once again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It says, "After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." I now invite our pastor to pray and kneel down as we pray over the wine.
Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood on Calvary for our sins. It is this blood that not only washes and cleanses us from sin, but gives us the power to live a victorious life over sin. And so we thank you for your sacrifice. There is healing, there is power, there is forgiveness, there is grace, and there is mercy in the blood of Jesus. And so today, Lord, we thank you that we can gather as your people on your holy Sabbath day in your house to celebrate and give you thanks for the blood that you have shed. We thank you for these emblems of your blood, the pure, unfermented fruit of the vine. And we pray, Lord, that you may bless it. And we pray, Father, that as we drink together, we all may be drawn closer to you and closer to each other. And may we renew our commitment to serve you, Lord, for the rest of our days until Jesus comes. So bless the drinking of this wine as a symbol of your shed blood, and may it be efficacious to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all, friends, for joining us in the communion service today, and I pray that you leave this place with your eyes fixed on Christ, not on yourself, but on Christ, as we remember his sacrifice on our behalf. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just pause and thank you so much for allowing us to be here, Lord. The church is full, Lord, because you left the tomb empty. Amen. We thank you so much, dear Father, for your infinite love and sacrifice, Father. And as we just pause to reflect upon it, Lord, we realize that all eternity it will take us, Lord, to continually understand what that sacrifice meant, Lord. And even we have a limited understanding, Father, we can see incredibly clear, Lord, Calvary has shown us, Father, that you are love. And we thank you, Father, for not only that, Lord, but the victory over sin possible, Lord, that we can live a life and life more abundantly. And we look forward, Lord, until that day, Father. We hang on to that promise of hope, Lord, that despite everything else around us, Father, that day, Lord, until you take us home and we can share this communion meal, Lord, with you in the heavenly kingdom. So, Father, we ask a blessing upon each person here. As we go out, Lord, as we go into our new weeks, as we go back to our lives, Lord, we just ask that from we can keep our focus upon you, not looking at our own selves, Lord, but looking at what you have done, as we can behold the Lamb of God, that's you, that taketh away the sin of the world. So we thank you, Father, for this Sabbath day. We pray all these things in your holy name, I ask. Amen.